We are now joined by Andrea Jane Cornell. Welcome to the WGXC Wavefarm studio.
Hello.
Hi, you've been downstairs as a resident here at Wavefarm all week. What are you working on?
Well, first of all, it's nice to come up the spiral staircase and join you here in the studio. I've been mostly working on the broadcast that I'll be doing tomorrow overnight, which is called Liminal Transmission and may indeed end up being a whole lot of dead air. But what I'm going to be doing is probing the outer limits of the FM's spectrum and its ability to actually recreate certain sounds that fall below 30 hertz or above 15 hertz. And we're going to see what happens. It's more of an experimentation.
Right. That'll be at 1 a.m., not tonight, but
exactly, tomorrow,
which is technically Thursday, I guess.
Exactly. It depends on how you think about the day.
Either late Wednesday night or very early Thursday morning.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's one of the things I've been working on. And the other one will be a workshop that's happening this Saturday, September the 1st, I believe.
Is there still room? I think you had one or two. You're not sure.
I think there was room
for one or two people left. It was mostly filled up. But you have to RSVP in advance, and that information is at WGXC.org. But tell us, what is the workshop going to be about?
So it's graphical scores, indeterminacy, chance, improvisation, and things around those areas of composing music, I suppose. And most specifically, composing a particular piece that I've been working on that's called, and I've never actually said it out loud, so In, On, Out, On, In, Out, On, In, which is for John Cage and using ideas that John Cage was working with around the radio, around chance operation, using the I Ching to compose, etc. And this workshop will talk about different ways of improvising. I mean, improvisation is kind of this thing where anyone can do it. It's the result of what you bring to the table. So the people who are taking part in the workshop, I mean, depending on what their backgrounds are, what kinds of things they're interested in adding to this piece, we're going to make this graphical score and perform the piece at the end of the day using a lot of resonant objects and percussives because I tossed the I Ching and I got thunder. So it's going to be a little thunderous. We're going to do some vocalizations and use some field recordings as well and use three layers of radio, so the terrestrial broadcast of WGXC and the internet stream, which can be used as a processor to affect the terrestrial broadcast in various ways, various intervals, refeeding the signal back into itself over different intervals, making delay, and then just some short-range FM transmitters and receivers set up around the property here and broadcasting certain things coming out of a mixer, which will determine the day of. So it's going to be a lot of fun, a lot of creativity, and I'm looking to, you know, impart some knowledge, but it's kind of like a skill share. Like, I want people to bring ideas to the table as well, because it's the kind of performance or the kind of score that will change every time that it's performed, depending on, you know, what the chance operations let us do or lead us to.
And give our listeners, tell us a little about yourself. You came here, what brings you to Greene County? You come here from Montreal?
I came here from all the way from Montreal. I took the train down, and, well, Free 103.9 offers this artisan residency program, which I happened upon and decided that, hey, this would be a good idea. My background is in radio and electroacoustic composition, experimental music, improvisation, that kind of stuff. I worked at a station in Montreal as the music programming coordinator for 5.5 years, a really big campus community radio station.
CKUT.
I think we're the biggest beast north of the border in that particular sector.
You can't quite get it here, but you can get it in northern New York,
I think,
right?
Well, you can get it anywhere, just like the internet. But yeah, you can get it a little bit south into upstate New York and into Vermont as well. And so over the years, I've trained hundreds and hundreds of people in the art of using the broadcast studio as a very sort of straightforward broadcast studio use of, you know, making music programs or presenting the news, but also working with ways of sort of accidentally happening upon certain things that you can do with a studio, to be creative with it, to make sound, to compose music or whatever, what have you, and trying to expand the sort of boundaries of the studio to be a little bit outside of the walls instead of being stuck within the basements or the attics or wherever those studios may be. And it's only in the past few months of not working there where I've really been able to actually look into more artistic uses of the studio, since I'm no longer a staff member and I don't feel like, you know, I can use it now too as a volunteer. So that's kind of where I'm coming from.
You don't have to follow the rules or teach other people the rules. You can break them now.
I know. I definitely still have to follow the rules. But, you know, Canada, the rules are a lot less lax than they are here. A lot more freedom of what can and cannot be said.
There's sort of a bigger tradition of creative radio in Canada, too, than in the United States.
Yeah.
Why do you think that is?
I mean, I don't know. We're a special lot. there's a lot of creative types that come up to Canada from everywhere. I don't think it's necessarily all Canadian born and bred. We're kind of a safe haven for many expats, and life is cheap up there. And I think there's just a lot more space for being adventuresome on the radio. Not necessarily across the country, but some cities are really into fostering creative communities and getting people to, you know, get their first steps in that sort of creation of sound on the radio. I don't know if there's actually a particular reason why we are so good at what we do or why so many people get into it, but there's, you know, also it's just the accessibility issue is that every big city has, you know, 2, 3, 4 community or campus community stations, and then even the small cities all have access to the means of production of radio, and you know, there's ample room on the airwaves for everyone to be able to have the opportunity to create something that's either creative or something that's informative or any kind of radio-based information sharing or culture sharing.
And can you tell us briefly about your own radio work?
Sure. Well, I believe the first time I ever made creative radio was during our funding drive, where no one was available to do a show, and I invited a friend who I had seen play before on the air to come and play with me, and I said, just bring as much as you can and we'll set it up. And we improvised for 2 hours and did, you know, station IDs and pitches and ridiculous stuff, and had a really good time. And this created a partnership with this person, Emily Mouchous, that continues to go on, and we've spent, you know, hours and hours and hours in the studio working out different ideas and really kind of letting loose. We perform live, but what's interesting about the studio is that nobody can see the grimaces you're doing. Nobody can, like, you know, you don't feel very self-conscious because you don't have that immediate response. Even though the phone sometimes rings, it's very few and far between. And so...
Well, nowadays you get tweets and things too.
Yeah, but you know, I guess you have to subscribe to that to be on the in of it. But you know, in starting to work with different people rather than just, I used to do stuff where it was just like field recording mixes and montages and live improv with that. But working with other people in the studio is always really interesting, especially now bringing people who've never been into a studio and introducing them to the concept of free improvisation within this box where you are really free to do whatever it is that comes to mind, and mistakes go unheard because nobody sees the reaction you make when the feedback happens or when nothing happens. It's just this really special zone. And more, I mean, I don't know, I think I only came to the realization that I made radio art in the last year or so. I was like, oh yeah, I do. I started using the radio in a way that if I want to make a piece, I can't just sit down and compose something anymore. I need to perform it. So I'll perform something and it'll give me an idea. And then I'll go into the studio and maybe try to perform it again, and it'll never make me happy, but it'll give me a sort of basis for the idea. And then usually I'll come into the radio studio and do certain sounds that will then go into this piece. And so I'm creating and composing in a way that implicates live performance, radio performance, and then post-production afterwards, and kind of having this weird system that melds all these things together. And I think that what I am making is very much, I guess, I don't know if you can really say radio friendly, but works well on the radio. It's a lot of environments, and I like the idea of tuning a radio to a frequency and just like being open to this completely different environment that you wouldn't expect to hear on the radio. And it is a bit of a like an immersive experience, whereas, you know, if you tune in and somebody's talking, yes, you'll focus on the talking, but if you tune in and there's this expansive space being presented, it kind of throws you off guard, and I like that kind of aspect of it.
I ask this question of a lot of radio artists. Did you have some sort of childhood relationship with radio?
You know, we did listen to a lot of radio, but I mean, my dad was really into audio stuff, but I didn't really know that at the time. But, you know, we had, like, this setup, and we could, like, you know, there's a mic into the stereo, and we could record our voices, and I would record a lot.
Oh, so you did. You had a little...
We had, like, a little, not really a studio. It was just, like, a consumer
stereo. I just had, like, a little cassette deck, you know.
Oh, I have a couple of those now. And then also, later on, maybe when I was, like, 8 or 9, my father gave me, a reel-to-reel recorder, which worked for about like a year and then died. And so I did like going and recording stuff, and it was just like silly goofing around. But the idea of recording and of manipulating stuff afterwards is always a really fun thing. I wish I had some of those excerpts. I know some people, friends of mine, that actually still have these recordings that they made and like would make mock-up radio stations and do the whole thing. I don't think it was to that extent. I fell into radio. I needed a job. I applied. I got it, and I started to really, really love it. Yeah.
And you talk about performing. Do you play an instrument as well on the air, or does Emily?
Emily plays hilarious instruments that she creates herself, electronic circuits. She's made her own synthesizer and has now started building circuits on materials, and like plays with the material to coax out sounds. I do play instruments, not in the way that somebody would play an instrument and be recognized as a fantastic player, but I will take anything and attempt to make it creative sound. Played the clarinet. I play the accordion, not as an accordion player would, but more for the drone sounds. And I make sounds with my voice. I'll play cymbals, keyboards, whatever's at hand. It's more of a, like objects, and I treat them that way and try to find certain sonorities that ring with my aesthetic.
Well, in the early days of radio, they experimented with so many different sound effects, you know, like for a door closing or for rain falling. And do you do that sort of thing too? Is that...
Not necessarily, no. If I want the door to close, I'll get up and close the door. If I want the window to open, I'll open the window. We do like playing the metal grate in front of the window at CKUT. It makes a great sound. But Foley artist kind of radio sounds like that are always very, very amusing to create. And I've had the opportunity to do that for film, but not necessarily on the radio.
All right, well, let's give the information one more time. Andrea Jane Cornell is going to be giving the score workshop, Indeterminacy, Chance, and Improvisation, this Saturday, September 1st, from noon to 6 p.m. at Wave Farm in Accra. And you can go to WGXC.org for more information about that. And then you're also doing the liminal transmission August 30th, or very early Thursday or late night Wednesday at 1 a.m. And that's going to explain liminal transmission one more time?
It's probing the frequency response of the FM carrier wave, which can only produce a certain range, and I'm going to produce outside of that range and see what happens and listen to a radio and reamp it and put a lot of silence out there and see if it's actually silent, or I mean, who knows? all kinds of things could be coming through the broadcast. So we'll see.
All right. That'll be very early Thursday or very late Wednesday, depending on your perspective.
I think I'm going to stay up for that.
So 1 to 3 a.m. August 30th on WGXC.